State Senator Tom Sherman joins us, Democrat. He's a candidate for governor, running, of course, in this next cycle here. Also, Dr. Tom Sherman, thanks for being back with us.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the time.
Well, I guess we're in that period where these races are gelling, as they say. They're forming. People are kind of trying to get into the, here we are into May. What are the galvanizing issues you're seeing, Senator Sherman? There's a lot of local legislative stuff that's moving from the House and through the Senate. We're kind of winding, we're getting in that period where the legislature, as Senator D'Alessandro said on Friday, is sort of kind of looking at winding down. What are the issues when you go out and about? What are people asking you about? What are they concerned about? What are you concerned about?
Well, Jack, first of all, I just want to say one note of remembrance before we jump into it, if you don't mind.
No, go ahead.
I stopped by the time on Saturday, remembering John DeStasio, and you know, he was just an amazing journalist, and sort of hats off to you and to Paul and to all the other people who report. And we will so miss John. It was great to see his wife. And I just wanted to remember him before I answer your question.
That's nice. And he was a pro. You know, John was a gentleman and he was a pro.
He really was.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
He really was.
What issues are burning out? What are people asking you about when you go out and talk with them, whether it's a group of three or 30 or 100?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's across the spectrum. Republicans, independents, Democrats, they are concerned about the issues that confront pretty much all Granite Staters. And if not Granite Staters my age, our children and grandchildren, those are just the excellence and quality of public schools and making sure that is pretty much guaranteed for children across the state. Affordable housing is, a hot topic right now.
Right.
And then, you know, when we look at the economy, the governor talks about how great it is with us having such low unemployment. But I kind of pivot and say, wait a second, you know, we could be so much better if we could address the workforce issues, whether that's the state government where we have 2,000 job openings out of 10,000 employees, or whether that's private businesses, which, of course, I so strongly support, being able to make sure that they have all the resources, and especially the human resources, to meet the productivity needs. So those are the big issues. I think in the same sentence where we talk about workforce, we have to be talking about affordable child care, which unfortunately, you know, Senator Whitley has done an amazing job bringing forward some great legislation, virtually all of it rejected by the House just in the last 2 weeks. You were asking about that. The lack of commitment to early childhood and to working parents is it's startling. I was very surprised that they did in her bills as they came across.
Senator, you were outspoken, might have been last week. I don't have the bill in front of me, and I asked the governor about it Friday when we were doing our show live from the Union Diner. And there's a bill dealing with a medication known as ivermectin, ivermectin. Some people feel for treatment of COVID, it's effective. Others have their concerns. I asked the governor if this bill got through and through the Senate onto his desk, would he sign it? He sounded like he had concerns with it as well. It was sort of a vague answer, but you're I think the only doctor in the Senate, medically speaking. What are your concerns with this bill?
I'm chuckling because when I was describing what I do for a living, I mentioned the word diarrhea. I'm a gastroenterologist, and ivermectin is really used to treat a couple of illnesses. One is diarrhea caused by
parasites. Right? Yeah, parasitic.
And we use it in people. We use it in horses and cattle and other livestock. It works really well for that. It's actually also used in the treatment of lice, which is kind of interesting, but it is not FDA approved for COVID. So the bill has several problems. The first one is that it doesn't even mention the indication for which it would be prescribed. This is what's called a standing order, which is where anybody can walk in. Some doctor has signed off on this order and has said, this is okay for anybody to walk in and get this medication. They have to be over 18.
Mm-hmm.
But ivermectin is not a benign drug. It's used worldwide. It's used appropriately, but it does have side effects. If you're elderly and the principal side effect is diarrhea, it could make you dehydrated. You could fall, break your hip, or worse. If you are a pregnant woman, it's category C, which means it could be dangerous to the developing fetus.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, a pregnant woman can not even know she's pregnant. She can walk in, grab some ivermectin or have it at home, take it, and put the fetus at risk.
Where did I know online stuff in the last 3 years, you know, everyone, there was a lot of experts on a lot of things in life, but where did it ever come that this would be effective? Because I've heard some people, we had doctors during the Omicron surge and coming out of the holidays saying they were trying to prescribe this because they felt it might keep their patients out of the hospital, not women who are expecting and not seniors, and they couldn't get it through the pharmacy because it wasn't approved for that, but they said they could provide Oxy for back pain, which is addictive. So where did it come that this ivermectin was effective for COVID?
So there was the initial study was by a guy named Hill. And actually, he has recanted his initial study. And the reason was that the scientific community pointed out to him that there were problems with the different studies that he used to come to the conclusion. In fact, one of the studies that he used to come to the conclusion he determined was fraudulent. Now, this is the author of the study coming and recanting it. And his conclusion was we needed large studies, broad studies that are well-designed to look at the effectiveness of ivermectin. And just in the last 2 months, we've had at least two of those studies being released, and they show no benefit of ivermectin. So the real concern here is that we would be making available a drug that has, in the best studies, has shown no effectiveness for COVID.
Right.
And we are making it available to everybody, which could delay treatment. We do have effective treatment like Paxlovid that it does require a prescription. I would add one other thing, Jack, really quickly, is that we did pass a bipartisan bill that expands off-label prescribing. So if somebody wants ivermectin, they can get any doctor to go ahead and do that, even though it's not FDA approved, if the doctor's willing to.
Right.
And that's called an off-label prescription. And we did support that, and I think the governor would sign that.
Right.
But I'd be really cautious about this standing order bill.
Okay, real quick, I didn't want to go that long on that, but it's okay. Tom Sherman, Democrat, gubernatorial candidate. I want to ask you real quick, mental health. It's a much more mammoth problem locally, nationally, in the veteran community, in the kids community, teenagers taking their lives too much. People of all ages, in my opinion, are battling some degree of anxiety, depression. Mental health is, my opinion, is a bigger problem than a lot of people, even at the CDC and other health places, policy people want to talk about. How are we doing with mental health services here real quick? I know it's a big subject. I'd love to get you back again, but how, as someone in the medical side, are we neglecting the mental health challenges in this state, or are we doing a good job addressing it?
We are not doing a good job addressing it. The best response I can give to how we're doing right now is that it's chaotic. We have bought a hospital with no plans on how to run it. Now the plans to run it are coming out, and we've got a $52 million no-bid contract with a private prison company to manage our children in mental health crisis. That raises big red flags for me.
Right.
We used to have excellent mental health for our children at New Hampshire Hospital. These were Dartmouth professors. They all left when the kids were moved out of New Hampshire Hospital. We have to get back to that model.
Let me ask you this as we go. Gary Hirschberg, founder of Stonyfield Yogurt, he's been around the Democrat political circles before. Was an entrepreneur, did well. He should have done well. I mean, he worked very hard building that company. He could have jumped into this race as a Democrat. He said he looked at it and decided not to run. You're out there running. Some would say Governor Sununu is a very, you know, very difficult incumbent to take on as a Democrat, if, you know, in terms of the general election. Very difficult to defeat. You know, the state fiscally is in pretty good shape. And, it, you know, New Hampshire's ranked as a very good quality, safe place to live. People are moving here. So the governor has a lot of things to run on. In the same time, when I've asked the governor before, when he decided not to run for the U.S. Senate in the primary there, Senator Sherman, I asked the governor if he'd rule, if he's ruled out running for president one day. And he actually said, no, he's not. He's not ruled anything out. He's not. And some people would say he's actually looking at that beyond this midterm election. I'm not sure he will, but we have the first in the nation presidential primary, which I hope will still be relevant for both Democrat and national Republican candidates. Do you think the governor's taking this midterm election around the corner for granted, and or do you think he's working hard to get reelected? I'm just curious, as someone who's going to take him on, do you think he's looking a little bit out over his skis on the midterm elections, assuming he's going to get reelected by a wide margin or not?
You know, I can't speculate on the governor. All I can say is this, is that you've got two guys who are likable, one of whom, which is me, who has a very strong track record of saying I'm going to do things and actually doing them. I've spent an entire career in service. I have zero interest in higher office other than governor. And the only reason I'm running for governor is, as you mentioned, mental health. We've got substance use. We've got children like Harmony who have been in our system and we failed them. We've got the Sununu Center, which is another evidence of failure. We don't have to be failing. I know how to lead the legislature. I've been in the House and the Senate, which the governor has never been, which may explain why he has not been able to solve these issues. But I know how to solve them, and I've got a track record of solving problems. So I see my candidacy as a real positive, as an alternative to the governor. And where we would be after I've been governor for a term or two would be in a completely different place with a thriving economy and all these issues addressed are on their way to resolution.
State Senator Tom Sherman, Democrat gubernatorial candidate. Thank you very much from the Seacoast area. Thank you, sir. We'll get you back again soon on Good Morning New Hampshire. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you. And I'd love to come back and talk more about mental health. That is a passion of mine.
Thank you, Senator.